Welcome to the Sports Parent Podcast, where we talk about sports and parenting and the intersection between sports and parenting, hosted by best-selling author Jeff Perlman.
And Catherine Perlman, also known as the family coach and author of an upcoming book that's going to change your life.
Called Ignore It.
Yeah, called Ignore It. We're back after a hiatus. This is our second new episode. We have a new format, four segments. We start with general sports parenting topic. We move on to a What's On Your Mind session, a real-life parenting session, and as always, our one-minute debate.
All right, so let's get started. So today we're going to talk about paying kids for sports. So, like, paying them to
hit
play, bribing them, basically. And in this case, we had overheard a parent on our son's flag football team paying his son to for every pull. So every time he pulled a flag off, the dad offered
Wait. I got to say, what do you give him, a dollar? Probably give him a dollar, maybe 50 cents. How much do you give him every time he pulled a flag?
$20. He said he was going to give him $20. Here's the thing. There's this kid who is like a puppy on Emmett's team. He is the happiest, sweetest, nicest kid. I mean, like, high-fiving everybody.
Hey, Emmett. How's running, it going?
Like, he runs on the field. Like, he is just happy to be there. And he doesn't know if he's good or not. He doesn't care.
He's
literally happy to be on the
team. He's the worst kid on the team, but does not care.
No, he doesn't care. So I guess his dad decided to motivate him in some way and pay him $20, you know, each time he
pulls a flag.
Yeah. So what do you think?
I think it's crappy. Here's the thing. As you said, the kid's a delight. And his dad, you know, we thought, I don't know if the kid is a little special needs. It's hard to tell. He's a great kid. He's such a wonderful kid. But his dad is kind of sits behind the bench and instructs him during the games, which I don't love. But I thought, okay, maybe the kid, that's what I say, maybe the kid needs some help. But I think the dad is too hands-on here. Mm-hmm. And I also think the dad has a disease that too many fathers and probably some mothers have, which is my kid needs to be better than he is in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is an embarrassment, or this is embarrassing me, or why isn't he giving full effort? And it's flag football. Like, it shouldn't matter anyway what sport it is, but it's flag football. He's not going anywhere in flag football. And also, like, he's not a great athlete. In fact, I said to him, I'm an assistant coach on the team, and I said to him and his wife early on in the season, before any of this happened, I said, I would take your kid over any jerky, over-competitive kid I could ever think of. I love your kid. He's such a delight. He's such a joy. He's like a big puppy. And I hate to see this.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's a shame because he's already happy playing. And there's a lot of research on motivation, internal versus external motivation. And the kid wants to play for himself because it's fun. That's internal motivation. But as soon as you introduce external motivation, something like paying a kid for play, all of a sudden, that's what he's focused on. And then as soon as you stop paying, like, dad obviously can't, it's not sustainable. You can't pay your kid for every play. Then
not $20.
The kid will be like, well, what's the point of playing? Now you took a kid who loved playing football just for the fun of it. Now it's not fun unless he gets paid.
Now, let me ask you this. He had his best game by far. And it was funny. He pulled four flags. He probably didn't pull any flags all season. In fact, I'm pretty sure he did not. He pulled four flags that game. So the dad, I guarantee you, is thinking, this was genius. Like, this worked. He's a better player now. Can the argument be made that there's any benefit to it?
I think it would be a benefit if you think your kid would like something, but he refuses to give it a try. Then you say, okay, you know, I'm going to pay you for every practice you go to for the first five practices till you make a decision. Or,
I don't love that. You don't love that, right?
And I would only do it if the kid had no motivation,
mm-hmm.
right? So your kid doesn't play any sports, sits on the couch, only likes to eat snacks. You know, it's like a real issue, or it's a social issue, and you think there's a certain sport that would be a benefit to him, or whatever it is, an after-school program, anything. I don't think it's my go-to, but for a kid that's really lacking motivation, I think some external motivation. It doesn't have to be money. It could be a game for the, you know, an app, or it could be time playing something, or time with you in the kitchen, like any reward. It doesn't matter what it is. Do you think why it's different if it's money versus
some other
reward?
No, I don't at all. I agree with you.
Yeah, so to me,
what about grades? What about paying for good grades?
I think the same thing. Grades are irrelevant. If a kid gets a C, but it was the hardest subject of his life and he worked really hard, to me, that's a huge success. And paying somebody for an A that wasn't hard. You know, that was no effort. So what are you rewarding? You're rewarding natural intelligence over effort.
Wait, one thing that just relates to this. The flag football, the commissioner of the flag football league is this guy who gives these pep talks before every game. Some are good. Some make me a little uncomfortable. He's very nationalistic. But one game he said to the kids, if you're not getting, so out here, threes and fours are the highest grades you can get, I guess, in elementary school. You get grade on 1, 2, 3, 4. If you're not getting three or fours, you need to ask for help. Or he was kind of basically saying, and I was thinking, like, to some kids, a two is a major achievement.
Yeah, but I actually didn't mind what he's saying. He's saying that get help, speak up.
Sure. But he was, I thought it was a little like, if you're not getting these grades, you're failing. And for some kids, I feel like...
I don't think that was his point. But I will say, one of the last games I went to, you weren't there. This kid who got paid for pulling the flag, all the kids are sitting around the head of the league, and he's giving his usual pep talk, which is nothing to do with sports. You know, listen to your parents. Your parents give you everything. He was talking about entitlement. And he finished his speech, and he said, now turn around to your parents and thank them for what they've done for you. And our son was like feeling like, oh, this was a bit much, but okay, mom, thanks. And this boy who got paid, he turns around to his dad and he goes, that was so good, I almost cried.
I love that kid.
I mean, it was so special. He's this kid is so terrific. Just let him be, you know. But you know, the dad is obviously doing his best. He loves his kid. He's very attentive. Clearly. So, I mean, I know he's doing the best thing, but you and I did both cringe with the $20. So the kid, hopefully, if his dad paid up, because nothing worse than saying you'll pay and then not paying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. I agree. So what's on your mind, Earl?
Well, you know, I was reading one of my favorite websites, the Tennessee Baptist and Reflector. Mm-hmm. And Lonnie Wilkie, good writer, wrote a story called Amid Youth Sports Teams, Where Does God Figure In? And it was talking about, there was a Hopewell Baptist Church pastor in Savannah, Tennessee, Derek Westmoreland, who is saying your kids have to know that God is most important. He comes first. About the debate is your kids, you know, now kids have so many Little League games scheduled, so many youth sports scheduled. And this guy's saying if it's choosing between church and sports, you should be picking church, obviously. It's funny. I'm not a religious guy. I'm not a God-fearing guy. I'm not any of that. But I think the guy's point is a very strong one. It used to be Sundays when I was growing up, when you were growing up, Little League sports were not scheduled for Sundays, actually. They were not. You would never have a Little League game on Sunday. I know it has a religious basis, but I think it's kind of a nice thing. Sunday was viewed as a family day in America. It was a day where a lot of stores weren't open. You would do things with your family. I know this is a recurring theme on this show. I hate how youth sports are now, you know, there's a kid, a neighborhood kid who loves baseball, who's great. They told me recently, I play 17 hours of baseball a week. I just think that's a little crazy. Like,
well, I think there's an opportunity cost with that. So if you're playing 17 hours of baseball,
what are you missing?
I think you're missing something. And that doesn't mean that something is better. It might not be better, but you know,
it's something.
But that's okay. Everything we choose to do, there's something that we're not choosing to do or that's taking up the time of that. You know, if he does love baseball, but that's not even your point. Yeah. You're saying that it, like, sports have kind of taken over our, you know, family time. And that is very true. Even if you don't play in the advanced league or the travel league, you know, the demand for kids past, you know, 9, 10 years old for their time 4 or 5 days a week and Saturdays and Sundays and the games are in the middle of the day or, you know, Emmett's had practices from 6 to 8 or 6 to 7 p.m. Like, that's just
when he was like 9, 8 years old.
Yeah, I think it does take up too much family time.
Something's gone wrong here. I just think something has really gone wrong here. And As our kids get older, like Emmett is 10 and he plays baseball and he's definitely wrapping up on baseball. He might play another season. I don't really want him to. Like, I just hate the scene. I'm not ripping parents who are all into baseball. That's their thing. And I can respect that. I hate the scene. I hate the competitiveness. I hate the, you need to decide what you're going to be at 10. I hate the, you're going to play, we're going to play you a minimum number of innings because you're not that good. Like, 10 years old, you're a young kid still. You know?
I almost feel like we need a system for youth sports like there is in college. There's the kids that play for the team, and then there's intramurals, and that's fun.
Yes, there needs to be a local intramural league for kids.
That's so pathetic.
Why is it pathetic?
No, it's pathetic that we need that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. I don't know. It's kind of a crapper.
All right. So my topic is...
Oh, yeah, this is such a good one.
How much should you let your kids do physically in sports? And this is a very specific example. There's a local running club here that starts in middle school. So for
it's affiliated with the middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's starting for kids 10, 11 and it goes, you know, up through 14. And the club, we don't know that much about it, but I do know that the kids train over the course of a year or two to run a marathon.
It's not over a course of a year or two. It's a course over the school year.
Yeah, but some kids might, you know, continue on.
But the goal is to run a marathon.
The goal is to run a marathon.
It's called the Marathon Club, isn't it?
I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, our son loves running, and he'll most likely do this club, and I think it's terrific. And I think running is probably a great sport for him. Mm-hmm. But I was very firm that I do not want him running a marathon. And the reason is, I think just because you can do something, and I believe he could run a marathon, mm-hmm. although I would be sick to my stomach mm-hmm. about him, you know, having too much pain or whatever. But my issue is that as a kid, you can do permanent damage that you don't see happening as a kid. Like kids that are doing too much pitching, kids that are doing too much football with concussions sure. and things like that. And I think with this running, like it's like there was this local, another kid that was had to leave early from a birthday party because they're running the marathon tomorrow, 13-year-old. And another mother said, wow, that's amazing. Congratulations. That's so great. And my thought is, that's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it'll be hard for our son when we say you can't. At first, he probably won't care. But eventually, when all the other kids are doing it, it's hard to be the parent that says you can't do it. But you've been a runner all your life. And I ran for 10 years because of you. And now neither of us are running because we have bad backs. That, for me, is a direct result of running. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think sometimes that there's this push because they can do more, we should push them. And it is amazing. It is amazing that a 12-year-old kid can run a marathon. But what damage is not that marathon, but the training to do that marathon and all that repetitive use, you know? What do you think?
Well, you know, I grew up running, I would say 30 races a year. 30 or 40 races a year, maybe? From the time I ran my first 10K when I was in second grade. You know, so I ran a ton.
But you used to think a 10K was long for second grade.
Well, for second grade, yeah. It is. I did a lot of half marathons growing up. And half marathons were a big achievement. That was the big race, the half marathon. And I'm okay with kids 10, 11, 12 doing a half marathon. I think it's a reasonable, hard distance for them to do. I think this is insane. I think it's absolutely insane.
I don't even know why it's necessary.
It's not. That's the thing. It's not necessary. There's no doing accomplishing a half marathon for that age is just should be just as great an accomplishment. And I
but
don't.
Why wouldn't a 10K in terms of like improving your time? And that's sure. what running is all about, too. It's like.
No, but I understand. But I think a half marathon is a reasonable distance to work up to. I do for that age. And yeah. I think if you read most studies that have been done about running, I it's pretty common distance. I think it's okay. Training for a marathon, the marathon itself isn't what worries me. It's the beating and the training. You know, if you're training for a marathon, that means you're running a lot of 17, 16, 15, 13,
20.
It just cannot be good for a body that's still developing. And there's no reason for it. And I'm confused. And I really do want to have a discussion with yeah. the teacher who leads this because it makes no sense to me. And I think there are a lot of ignorant parents, ignorant to running, mm-hmm. Who probably have never run competitively or have never run these kind of distances, who don't really understand the damage that could be done to their kids and that there's no benefit to it. No real benefit.
Okay, but the thing is, we now do have a lot of information about pitching, excessive pitching, and...
But a lot of parents do not allow their kids to pitch. Now, a lot do, because they see their kid as, this kid's going to be the next
Well, forever. How do you explain that we now know that it's all like the micro-concussions and concussions and that the, you know, high school kids are in pads, you know, 5 days a week and...
Okay, this is the best way I can explain it, and you're going to disagree. Study came out last week or 2 weeks ago about diet soda related to dementia, right? Uh-huh. I tend to like a diet soda every now and then. I still had a diet soda. Mm-hmm. We hear things, and for some reason we tend to kind of...
Well, anything that's going to be put off. Like if someone said, if you drink that diet soda, you're going to get terribly sick in the next day.
I wouldn't drink it.
Exactly, because it's far off. We think, oh, well...
Yeah, well, these kids aren't going to be damaged tomorrow. They're going to be damaged
exactly.
when they're
early. So that's why they don't...
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay. Anyway, today we are sponsored by a brand new old sponsor, B2 Design, our sponsor every time. B2 Design takes pride in planning, strategizing, and organizing your online content to make your message clear and concise. B2 Design works with clients of all sizes. Family Coach uses B2 Design. How's that going for you?
Great.
Great. My website was also designed by B2 Design. Ask me how it's going.
How's it going?
It's great.
Great.
For more information on building a beautiful new website or updating an old one, get in touch with Brant Beaupre at Brant, B-R-A-N-T, at btwodesign.net.
Before we go on to real life parenting, I do want to say we are both sitting on the floor in our closet and we're both suffering. Is your back in pain right now?
No.
Oh my gosh, I'm in so much pain. So as we're talking about not running and being in pain, I can't even sit on the floor of my own closet without being
Can injured. I throw a side thing in real quick?
Sure.
Today we were at someone's house and I had a booger or something sticking to my nose. God. And this guy who was there, who I kind of know, starts giving me the sign, like
the universal sign that you have something on your nose.
He's like, literally, where there's three of us in a conversation. He's looking at me and like rubbing his nose so I can see. And I was kind of mortified, but not horribly mortified because I do take embarrassment morale. But then when I told you about it, you seemed particularly mortified.
Well, I would have been humiliated if that were me. I just would have been totally horrified. But the ironic thing is that that happened on our second date.
And you didn't tell me.
No, I was too embarrassed.
Damn it.
But you it's been like 18 years and you still have things on your nose. Like, what are you going to learn?
I inherited the drip from my mom.
Right.
Yeah, if anyone wants to see my drip, come to the studio.
All right, what do you got for real life parenting?
So today we had something interesting, which is, but this is kind of ongoing. Our daughter is 13 going on 14. Good kid, well-behaved, decent. I'm very proud. You're very proud.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like her shorts are sometimes too short. And today she came. She had a party today, a friend's birthday party. It was a sleepover. And she comes down in these shorts that she sleeps in generally. And super short. Now, they weren't short like you see some whack job parents saying their kids.
They were tight and short. That's why
really But, you know, you see them. Some where, like, you can see that, like, the butt fold. I never understand that.
No,
it's
we
so.
Didn't see that.
Or,
okay,
you know, right. But, and it really bothered me. And I told her to take them off. And she was like, rah, 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 rah. And then she changed into a pair that were almost just as short. You thought they were a little better, and we allowed it. But I struggle with this whole shorts thing. And you're the family coach, and I'm just some schlub. So what do you think?
Oh, I think it's such a fine line. I mean, first of all, our daughter happens to have extremely long legs. And what's fashionable is shorter on her than it is for other girls. So it is really hard finding her clothes. But besides that, I'm really trying to walk a fine line between teaching her what's appropriate and not shaming her about her body or sending her a message about what she is representing. You know, it's not necessarily her responsibility to manage boys her age's desires and feelings and stuff. So on one hand, there is appropriate dress for a situation, and I think she should know what that is and she should wear it. Like, she can't wear that to Hebrew school, you know, but going to a friend's sleepover party where there's just girls in a bedroom giggling and who knows what on their cell phones, then I don't have as big of a problem with it.
I just think there's like I've learned a lot about this subject, having a daughter. This is one of those subjects where I've learned a ton about sort of a girl's body image, about is it her responsibility to worry about what boys are thinking? You know, is it her responsibility to dress a certain way because boys are going to think a certain way? The answer is no. Like, that's on them. That shouldn't be on her. Like, I agree with that.
But one day she went to water polo. She was wearing her bathing suit.
This was a learning message for me, a learning point for me.
Oh,
I agree.
Okay,
go ahead. You can tell the story.
No, well, one day she was going to water polo. She loves her bathing suit. It's a one piece, but it is very tight and skimpy. And she feels great in it. She doesn't even feel great in it. She doesn't even think about it. She's like wearing a t-shirt and pants to her. It's nothing. So she gets out of the car at the high school, and there are a lot of boys waiting for, like, wrestling.
There are all these high school boys waiting.
Yeah, I don't even know what.
And she's
sport.
In a bathing suit. So a bunch of boys are going to leave her by herself.
And you're like, she can't go out like that. And while I understand what you're saying, and she shouldn't be prancing around and, like, strutting her stuff, I just think, soon enough, she will not like her body. Like, I know almost no women who are like, I love my body.
I don't like my body.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. I was just throwing that in there.
Okay. but it happens more for women than men. Yeah. But of course, obviously men have body image issues as well. But I just think she doesn't have a body image issue at all right now. She
so
just
is there
feels
anything
good
she
in
could
her
wear
skin.
Where you'd be like, you can't do that because you'd be worried about sort of.
No, I wouldn't be worried that she's going to get raped or something like that. I wouldn't leave her there at night in a bathing suit, like, hanging around behind the school. But it was like, you know, people around, whatever. I don't want to see the crack of her butt. I don't want to see under her butt cheek. I don't want to see, like, too much of her, like, oh my God, you're making faces.
Sorry.
But, like, she was wearing a full one-piece bathing suit.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway. You know, being a, I gotta say, I love having a daughter. Like, I love having a daughter. You know that. Like, love. It comes with its complications, having never had this experience before. And, you know, you're just not, if you're not growing, if you don't grow up going through it, you know, like, there are things she'll go through that I understand better than you understand. There are things.
Definitely. I think there are things to her body image that I'm much more sensitive
of course.
About how we handle them than you would even think to be.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So I feel like it's a very hard to go through learning experience. And the unfortunate part is, so you learn all this stuff, but then I don't have another daughter, so I can't use that knowledge for anything else in my life.
I mean, parenthood is long. It's not just over at 18.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was kind of leading into my real life parenting issue, was about how, as a mom, you manage your body image issues without putting them onto your children. Because I think one way that daughters learn about shaming their body is through their parents, and not on purpose or, you know, directly, but there's so many subtle things that are said and done.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, oh, how do you like, do you think I look good in these pants? Oh, I ate too much. I'm stuffed. I don't feel good. Or, like, it just, so many things that we say. I don't know. I just think I have to be more conscious now because we have a teenage daughter. I feel like that's something I think about much more than I think you think about.
Maybe. I feel like this is an area I've learned also. Like, we've certainly heard parents who sort of insult their kids' bodies in comments they make, offhanded comments they make. Those I pick up on a lot more, where it'll be like she needs another Oreo, or, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of, like...
Yeah, but, like, you would talk more about your own body or eating in ways that I wouldn't.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. All right.
It always comes down to me.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, now we do our big 1 minute debate today is one that's kind of interesting, because while I don't watch a ton of sports TV, Catherine watches a ton of reality TV. So
a
the debate
really.
So the debate today is reality TV versus sports TV. Since I went first in episode 11, Catherine, you're going first today. Reality TV. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready, set, go.
The thing I like about reality TV is it is escape, but I do learn about people and family dynamics. And even some of it is, I wouldn't say scripted, but, you know, pushed in a certain direction. You still see people and their relationships, and being a social worker and a voyeur, I like that. I think that it's cool to see people's houses and where they travel and beautiful locations. And I don't know. I think sports is mindless. At least I'm using my brain while I'm watching reality television.
You're using your brain while you're watching reality
yes.
TV? Yes. Okay. Really? You feel that way?
I do, actually, because I'm thinking about the dynamics. I use a lot of this is not included in my thing, but I use reality television in my teaching social work practice all the time, because I think there's a lot of things that people can see.
Okay.
Like, Hoarders is reality television.
Sure. I like Hoarders.
Okay. Well, so.
All right. Here we go. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Set. Why sports is better. Mm-hmm. Two things about sports I like. Number one, there is no predetermined ending. It's the rare thing in TV. We actually don't know how the thing is going to end. And there's an excitement to that. We don't know who's going to win the NBA Finals. We don't know who's going to win this game tonight. More importantly, though, for me personally, sports is this language that I speak very well. And that takes you very far. You can be at a party. You can be anywhere you can go. My dad used to talk about this. He would always say, you can talk to anyone because you can talk sports. And it really is true. You want to talk about the Cavs? You want to talk about the Mets? That is a language for life. It really is. It is a language and has done me very well.
I was laughing when you said, you don't know what's going to happen, who's going to win. Like, don't you watch, like, Super Bowl 1989 reruns? Like,
yeah, but that's just for, like, nostalgia's sake. But you even like this. We're done with that. You would agree. A great sporting event, the last minute, a World Series, extra innings, bases loaded, two outs. That stuff is absolutely thrilling because we don't know what's going to happen.
I agree.
Yeah, I love that stuff. So okay. I won.
So let us know who won the debate. Tweet us at The Family Coach or at Jeff Perlman. Use the hashtag TheSportsParents so we can see your comments. Find us on Facebook at Jeff Perlman, and you can find Catherine at The Family Coach. We'll put links and information about the topics we discussed on our show on the website, thesportsparentpodcast.com. Jeff's website is jeffperlman.com. And you can check out his amazing blog and take a look at his quaz, which is Jeff's Q&A series.
Thanks. And check out Catherine's website at www.thefamilycoach.com. I just want to say again, her book, Ignore It, comes out in August 1st.
8th.
August 8th, excuse me. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to The Sports Parent on iTunes so you don't miss an episode. And if you like our show, please, please, please go to iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating and a review if you can. Here's how to do it. Search iTunes for The Sports Parent. Click on the podcast, not the individual episode. When it comes up, you should see details next to the logo. Next to details, it should say reviews and rating. Check that heading. Then add a comment or just give us a 5-star rating if you feel comfortable. Also, if you have topics you would like us to discuss, seriously, we will discuss your topics if you let us know. Send us an email, Catherine@thefamilycoach.com. Audio production assistance from Andrew Perella. Music by the insanely gifted MC White Owl and Static Selecta. Until next week's episode of The Sports Parent, win or lose, take your kids for ice cream after the game and don't pay them $20 if they pull a flip.